Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's oh so quiet.
You don't live in a city of 8 million people and expect tranquility.
And so peaceful until you fall in love.
But is a little peace and quiet too much to ask? I'm John Schaefer, and in the next hour, Soundcheck sounds off on noise. And the Harlem String Quartet plays Ravel and Ellington Strayhorn. To begin, New York is a city where apartment walls can seem tissue paper thin, where music clubs sit next door to churches and yoga centers, and where everyone seems to have a pair of blaring white earbuds. Noise is the most popular reason for dialing 311, the city's complaint hotline. Some noise researchers say things are actually getting louder. Each Friday throughout the month of May, we'll explore how noise shapes our lives as we present a five-part series we call Sound Off. The series happens to coincide with Better Hearing and Speech Month, and we begin today by looking at what noise means for our quality of life in New York City. In a moment, you'll meet a musician who lives in the city's noisiest neighborhood, Washington Heights, and we'll find out why it is given that designation. But joining us first is Alan Firestein. Alan is founder and president of Acoustalog, a Manhattan company that provides acoustical consulting services. Al, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hi, how are you?
So why is noise the number one reason that people call that 311 number?
Probably because there's so many homes and castles in New York City. You know, one man's home is his castle, unfortunately, in Manhattan. Most of those castles are underneath someone else's castle.
Right. But, I mean, you know, we put up with a lot to live in New York City. But noise seems to be something that in the city that doesn't sleep, we can't abide somehow.
A lot of the complaints come from second-floor residents who live above stores. In New York City, it's very hard to walk down a block and not have at least half a dozen stores that play music. They may be restaurants, bars, nightclubs, but even a clothing store. So you have the sound coming through the ceiling of many buildings that weren't designed to stop sound, and that's part of it.
Now, is New York noisier now than it was 5 or 10 years ago?
Well, probably traffic congestion has something to do with some of the noise, but it depends on how you measure it. A lot of the noise...
How do you measure it?
Well, there's many ways to do that. There's methods of measuring where you measure all of the sound frequencies or pitches from the bass to the mid-range to the treble. There's other ways to measure it which are less precise, and they measure just the mid-range sound. Those are called DBA sound levels, and typically the ones that form the focus of DEP enforcement summonses or tickets. I measure all of the different frequencies because not only do they cause different disturbances to different people and businesses, but they have to be stopped with different materials and methods.
So the things like, for example, the types of wallboard that might be good at deadening those big, long bass frequencies might not be so good at the really high ones?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So why would it be getting... I mean, the Canadian composer and sound designer, R. Murray Schafer, no relation, has postulated that cities are getting a half a dB louder every year. Why would that be happening, especially at a time when people are trying not to drive so much?
Well, you see those signs all over the place that say noise-sensitive zone, don't honk. Obviously, when you have more traffic and people do tend to honk like they do on my block on Mercer Street when it gets backed up, you know, obviously you're going to get more of those problems. But I think also, and this is my own opinion, I believe that after 9/11, a lot of people who bought apartments, co-ops, condos, or even who were renters, felt that, gee, if I'm so terrified of anthrax or terrorists, at least my home is a place where I'm safe. I want it quiet there. It may even be my investment. It may be my biggest investment, and I may have to sell at some point. If it's noisy, it may take a financial hit on me.
Mm-hmm. What about the effect of the smoking ban in bars and restaurants? That seems to have had a... I know in my own neighborhood it's had an effect.
Well, two ways that's important. I do a lot of design work for clubs, and I also do a lot of work for residents who oppose clubs that want to have smoking areas in the back courtyard. It's very popular to give a place for people to smoke that isn't on the public sidewalk. But unfortunately, most back areas in Manhattan or even Queens, Brooklyn, their courtyard surrounded by hundreds of residential windows, co-ops, rentals, condos.
And so you're hearing those people who previously would have just been talking, you know, carrying on their conversation while they were smoking inside. They're now out on the street or they're in these courtyards and you're hearing their conversations.
And the typical ideas of awnings or canvases, they don't stop anymore.
Right. The bar on the corner of my block in Brooklyn has signs in the window that ask their patrons, please, if you step out to smoke, keep your voices down.
I know that the New York Nightlife Association recommends that all bars, all businesses want to be good neighbors, if they can, but they have to weigh the financial interests and their customers' requests.
All right, we're just getting started with our series called Sound Off, a look at how noise shapes our lives here in New York especially. And my guest is Alan Feierstein. He's founder and president of Acoustilog.com.
Check out today's Soundcheck blog.
When I first moved into my dorm my freshman year at Fordham, my room faced the Conrail train tracks. That first night, I thought I'd go mad. But by the end of the week, the noise was no longer a problem.
For the rest of the story, visit the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org.
And while you're there, leave a comment. Tell us about a noise that really bugs you or a noise that you like in your part of town. Or if you're out of town, that's fine, too. The Soundcheck page, WNYC.org. Al, I think we've all had this experience of, you know, if you live in New York, you're going to be close to something that makes noise all the time. And you do become acclimated to it. So, I mean, how much of our perception of noise has to do with what we're used to?
Well, a lot of it has to do with intelligibility, intermittency, continuousness. For instance, you got used to the train because, well, it was more or less continuous. It also started gradually as it got closer and reached a peak and then died away. So it's not a sudden startle sound like
right.
that clap. But imagine that it's something that, and it's also really not under anyone's control. They have to do the trains, but does the nightclub owner next door have to play the music that loud? You know he can turn it down, so you get really mad at that person. Why doesn't he soundproof? Why doesn't he turn it down? Why doesn't he take Al's recommendations? And if you can hear that distinct beat, boom, 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 that's a problem. Or if you live underneath somebody whose kid drops a heavy weight unexpectedly, a sudden thump, there's a startle reaction that's created. It's actually a technical term, an acoustic startle reaction. And it's very hard to stop that type of impact noise. And there's a lot of condos gone up that don't have the proper soundproofing right from the builder that's required by the building codes.
It is required, isn't it?
Absolutely. There's requirements for impact noise and there's requirements for airborne noise. And they can go up, down. Sound does not go necessarily down. It can go up. It can go left and right.
All right. Well, the by looking at the number of complaints that come into the 311 hotline, we can judge which neighborhoods in the current fiscal year have turned out to be the noisiest. And if you live in one of the noisy ones or not, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. We want to know what your favorite and least favorite noise in your neighborhood is, 433-9692, or as I said, leave a comment on the Soundcheck page of our website. Number one neighborhood for noise complaints, Washington Heights and Inwood, Community Board 12. Almost 11,000 complaints in this fiscal year, Al, and we're not even done with this fiscal year. What is going on up there?
Well, I think a lot of the complaints up in the Washington Heights area, and I've been there a lot, have to do with a lot of people playing music, playing radios with the windows open. It happens a lot during the summer, fall, spring. And whereas the people may have enjoyed that, even if it wasn't their music, a few years ago, as more people move in who are not used to that neighborhood, not used to this particular type of music, or the fact that music is sort of almost like an open season block party all the time, they might complain.
Well, and I'd read that there is a particular, and this is, it's funny to read about this, but not just Mr. Softy trucks, but a single Mr. Softy truck up there in Inwood, where the guy parks and just plays that jingle over and over again. Now, I can take just so much of that. So my heart goes out to the people in that particular neck of Inwood who have this. Now, again, there is a DEP, a Department of Environmental Protection law that says you can play your jingle while you're moving, but when you're parked, you have to shut it off.
Yeah, that when we were negotiating with the DEP, I was representing the New York City Council. Mr. Softee was very much involved, and the people there, the management, really, they want to be good neighbors. They don't want to cause a problem, and they agreed to that restriction, and that was seen as a compromise.
So the question then becomes one of enforcement. You know, if this is happening up there, and it's consistent, and it's even consistent enough that it's being reported in the press, why is there no way of ticketing this particular driver or getting him to shut the jingle off?
Well, when you speak to the DEP people later, you can ask them how come they can't get more inspectors roving around in the important areas ready to respond at a moment's notice. But it's so hard to get someone there. It usually takes weeks to get inspectors on the case.
How many inspectors are there that go around, you know, checking noise levels?
I was with four of them yesterday on a rooftop in Brooklyn, and they tell me there's only 30 inspectors or so, and they usually go in teams of two. So that's 15 teams, more or less, for the whole city of New York.
All right, so Washington Heights and Inwood, you would expect that at least one of those tag teams of inspectors would be up there quite a bit, given all of the complaints that have come in this fiscal year. Number one on the hit parade of noise complaints. Number two, Chinatown and the Lower East Side, Community Board 3. The third most is the Upper West Side, Community Board 7. There is construction going on the Upper West Side, but you know, one of our producers, Brian, who lives on the Upper West Side, was saying that people there just like to complain. Is that one of the things that we're looking at in these statistics, is that they can be skewed by a few people who call all the time?
Well, any of my customers who are listening right now, don't take umbrage at this, but frankly, the people who live on Fifth Avenue and Park Avenue in the Upper East Side are the ones who complain at the lowest decibel levels, because they're used to such quiet. But now with this rash of renovations that people are doing to their apartments, all kinds of noises start setting them off. And once they're sensitized to it, the complaints start coming out.
Well, the other sort of interesting stat that we have is the type of noise complaint. And far and away, the number one noise complaint that is called into the 311 hotline, residential noise. Number two is construction, and that is a very, very distant second. So people are calling about their neighbors, essentially. Is that right?
Well, let me take the second part first. There's a new section of the noise code now. That's when the new code that we worked on that went into effect July 1st of 07 took effect. It had construction noise management as one of the new issues that contractors have to be aware of. There's always been a prohibition against working outside of weekdays. And weekdays means 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. But residential noise is a big problem, not only because of what I think is the desire for people to hide in their caves after 9/11, but also because there are so many more condos, so many more co-ops that have been built, and so many of them have been built deficiently. It's laughable. I've been in $20 million apartments. I'm not going to mention the important recognizable addresses. I'll tell you after the show. But they are...
And I'll put it on the blog.
Outrageously loud air conditioners, outrageously bad holes and cracks and poor floor construction, etc.
All right. Well, so the number one noise complaint is residential. And all of these lists, the noisiest neighborhoods, the quietest neighborhoods, the types of noise complaints, you can find all of it on the Soundcheck page of our website at WNYC.org. Joining us now on the line is Miguel Zinon. He's a saxophonist, a rising star on New York's jazz scene. And given the fact that he recently won the so-called Genius Grant, the MacArthur Fellowship, I guess I'll have to stop saying rising star and say risen. Miguel, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Hi, how you doing? Good to be back.
So you lived in Washington Heights, the noisiest neighborhood, allegedly, in New York for a number of years, and before that in Inwood as well. So what makes that part of the city, the top one on our list of noisy neighborhoods?
Well, you know, it's hard to tell. Actually, you know, the part of Washington Heights where I live is actually incredibly quiet. I live around 181st, like closer to the Cloisters. Mm-hmm. Some people like to call it Hudson Heights. And it's actually really, really quiet. It's a lot of elderly, a lot of families, you know, I don't get any noise at all, basically. But, you know, I think in some way it has to do, you know, and I'm from Puerto Rico originally, so I think, you know, I'm kind of speaking, you know, out of personal experience. But I think, you know, Washington Heights, if I'm not mistaken, has the biggest number of, like, the biggest Dominican population in the city.
Right,
you know? And I think that has a lot to do with it. You know, I think the Caribbean people in general, they like to share,
mm-hmm.
be it music or be it, you know, just people selling things in the street or, you know, the preacher in the corner, that kinds of things. You know, that's the kind of stuff that people like to do, you know, they like to do in a lot of way, you know. And I haven't had that kind of problems where I live now, but where I used to live before, which was farther up in Inwood. You know, I actually have this neighbor that on Saturdays would listen to his music. He would, like, open his windows and put the speakers on the windows facing out so that everybody in the building and in the neighborhood could hear what he was listening to. So, you know, I mean, it was that kind of thing. And it was, people were used to it. I mean, you know, a couple people complained in the building, but, you know, it was never nothing serious. He never got thrown out. I mean, he did it every time. And, you know, and I remember when I used to live up there, I used to practice all day, you know, and nobody ever complained at all. You know, and the saxophone can be pretty loud.
Yeah.
And where I am now, I've had to take some measures because, you know, after a while, people started complaining about the saxophone practicing and all that stuff.
So what measures have you taken?
You know, I actually bought this this kind of isolation booth. It's called the Whisper Room. And it's sort of like a mini practice room that I put in my room, and I can go in there and practice as much as I want, and nobody is able to hear it outside of my apartment. So it's actually worked out really good for me, you know, because I can practice now any time of the day, even at 2 in the morning if I wanted to, and nobody would be able to hear it. But, you know,
Alan,
I mean,
are you familiar with the kind of thing that Miguel is talking about?
Well, I designed a lot of soundproof rooms for musicians, including in Hudson Heights. And sometimes I recommend they just buy a prefab Whisper Room or one of the other acoustic systems is another company. They make some great products, but they're not suitable for all types of music. Right now I'm in the process of recording someone who plays drums. When I say I'm recording it, I mean I have a surreptitious recording machine set up to record not only the music, but the decibel level of that music, and it will be something that I play back in court for a judge. I do a lot of testifying. And this person should have bought a booth or done some soundproofing, but doing soundproofing for drums is not necessarily going to be solved by the type of whisper room that he's talking about. It's not sufficient.
But for a saxophone?
For a sax, it is very good.
Okay. So, Miguel, you've done your part to be a good neighbor. So do you think that are you saying it's a cultural thing in the Dominican community of Washington Heights that people are used to being outdoors and, you know, play the music outdoors, have their parties? Is that what you mean by, you know, people wanting to share everything?
I think so. And, you know, when I lived in Puerto Rico, it was the same case. You know, I had neighbors who did the same thing. And if you go out shopping, if you go out to busy areas, you know, here in Washington Heights, like the closer you get to Broadway, basically where most of the stores, where most of the, you know, the shopping is done, the closer you get to Broadway, the noisier it's going to be,
Go ahead, finish up.
And you know, I just think that after a while, people just get used to it because people are already, you know, they're kind of bringing that, you know, in their culture and the stuff they're used to do.
All right. Richard from Washington Heights left this comment on our website. He wrote, "I've come to love merengue and know the dance, but cannot stand car stereos in the summer. Giuliani's best move was to stop this with heavy ticketing. My latest gripe is helicopters at 6 a.m. 181st Street is now a traffic route for commuter choppers." So it's one thing after another up there in the Heights. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, our series, Sound Off, continues with your calls and comments, and there are a lot of them. And coming up in just a little while, the African-American and Hispanic members of the string ensemble known as the Harlem Quartet will join us. They're breaking down barriers in classical music and breaking down barriers in what you might consider to be classical music. We'll find out more when they join us for their live performance later today on Soundcheck.
is silent. Fool said I, you do not know. Silence like a cancer grows.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and we've been talking about New York's noisiest neighborhoods. According to the complaints coming into the 311 line at the city, it's Washington Heights and Inwood. But there is a neighborhood where you might be able to enjoy the sounds of silence. Queens Community Board 11, that includes Bayside and Douglaston, is apparently the city's quietest neighborhood. Today we launch Sound Off, our five-part series on how noise impacts our lives. Joining us and sighing heavily a moment ago, Alan Feierstein, founder and president of the acoustic consulting firm Acoustalog. Did something about Community Board 11? Have you been out there? Did you find that just as noisy as any place else?
I've gotten five calls from Bayside, Douglaston, and Little Neck in the last week. People who have noisy neighbors, noisy boilers underneath them, noisy roof fans on top of them, noisy elevators next to them, noisy incinerator chutes. I could go on and on. You need more time.
All right. So silent being a very relative term here. So Al's with us in the studio. Miguel Zinon, the jazz saxophonist who lives in Washington Heights, is with us on the line. And so are a number of our Soundcheck listeners on the phone and online on the Soundcheck page of our website, WNYC.org. Let's go to Carroll Gardens in Brooklyn. Brenda is joining us on the line. Brenda, what's the noise situation there in Carroll Gardens?
I live about a block away from the BQE, and I have to say, I kind of love it. It sounds like the ocean to me.
Why?
Well, it's just like the cars, you can hear them coming from far away, and then by the time they go away, it sort of just reminds me of waves in the ocean, and I find that really soothing.
It's a natural sound. Even though it comes from traffic, it sounds like the ocean or the surf. It sounds like a white noise machine, which you would buy to reduce the noise from your neighbors. And it's not a startle sound, as we said before, as our host used to live next to a train that gradually came around
right.
And gradually went away. You're not startled by it. And it helps reduce the noise of your other noisy neighbors.
So it becomes, in fact, a kind of de facto white noise.
It's a sound masking device.
Okay. Also in Carroll Gardens, Ed joining us on the line. Ed, do you have an experience of noise similar to Brenda's?
Not exactly. I think we have a startle one on a nightly basis. So it amazes me we're 10, 11 minutes into this segment and haven't yet talked about car alarms.
All right. So that's the startle.
We have a front-facing bedroom and are, you know, interrupted or stopped from sleeping 3, 4, 5, 6 times every night. You want to get the eggs out and throw them at the cars.
Mm-hmm. Now, there again, Al, there is a rule. What is it, 3 minutes, and then the thing is supposed to shut itself off?
They do have a cutoff, but all of the people who call me, and frankly, I've been getting calls like this for 33 years, the calls are based on how do I soundproof my windows, because I know I'll never get the police or anyone else to stop it, because even before the 3-minute law, there was a 15-minute shutoff on most of these devices anyway.
Yeah, but 15 minutes, even 3 minutes is an eternity. I have a front-facing bedroom, too, and when a car alarm goes off at 3 a.m., 3 minutes is an eternity.
Yeah, but you can't call 911 for that, and that's the only type of 1-1 call you can get a fast response from. DEP sometimes gives appointments 2 weeks in advance. I mean, 2 weeks hence. So.
Wow. All right, Susan joining us from the Upper West Side, which as mentioned earlier, makes the top three of the city's noisiest neighborhoods. Susan, is it especially noisy up there on the Upper West Side?
No, not especially, except for the Fresh Direct trucks, which are a plague. They deliver their groceries as late as 9:30 and 10 o'clock at night. They do not turn off their refrigerator engines. They claim they can't, though some of them will do it. But most of them don't, and they're so rackety and noisy, you can't hear conversation, music, TV, anything.
Well, Susan, are you aware that Fresh Direct was actually, they were in the news recently for exactly this?
Yeah, I saw it.
And they agreed to limit the amount of time that their trucks idle, which, again, is a city law anyway.
Well, that's a matter of law.
Right. Are you actually seeing a change?
Yes, they do turn off their motors, but they don't turn off their refrigerators, which are actually noisier in some cases than the motor. And now some of the guys will just turn the whole deal off, and then, you know, it's fine. But most of them will not, and then they keep it idling, the refrigerator motor, which is so noisy, while they deliver their groceries up and down West End Avenue. Mm. They, you know, they put them on a pull truck and they go two blocks away and deliver into buildings, and they come back 20 minutes later.
Al, it seems to me that this is the kind of noise, anything that drones, anything that hums, that this would be the kind of noise that people would be able to get used to. It's not a startle sound, as you said before.
Not necessarily, because, you see, it doesn't happen all the time. It might start at 1 o'clock in the morning. It may not start with a sudden blast, but it's not something that's been occurring all night or all day.
Miguel, you told us before that the area of Washington Heights you're now living in is kind of quiet, hence your attempts to kind of soundproof your practice space. How much, I mean, what are the typical complaints in an allegedly quiet neighborhood that you hear?
Well, you know, my neighborhood is not only quiet, but I live on a dead-end street, too. So I don't get a lot of cars driving by, and I don't get a lot of, you know, people honking their horns or anything like that. But, you know, I think other than, you know, in my case, which is music, there's a lot of people, you know, kids playing in the street and stuff like that, or, you know, I mean, there's a lot of elderly in this neighborhood, so anything that they see that involves some kind of reckless skateboarding or, you know, playing baseball in the street, which you see a lot up here, actually, you know, that kind of stuff can get complaints if it's done late at night. But actually, you know, I think it's people here are pretty happy about the neighborhood being so quiet.
Now, what about you as a musician, Miguel? Has moving from a really loud part of the neighborhood to a dead-end street, very quiet, has that affected your music making?
You know, it probably has in some way. It probably has, because everything affects everything. But I think in many ways, you know, it's definitely made me more more susceptible to small noises, you know, up to the point where, you know, now I have to wear earplugs when I sleep, and I have to keep a fan on when I sleep, whereas before, when I lived in the noisier building, I didn't have to do any of that, you know. And I think it's just, you know, you getting used to everything being so quiet, when you get any kind of small noise, you're really susceptible by it. So I think in that way, it's not necessarily my music, but it's affecting me in other ways.
All right, Al, in my blog on the Soundcheck page today, I sort of all jokingly, suggested that one solution is all noise all the time. You just get used to it, you know? But it sounds like from what Miguel is saying, he was acclimated to noise, and now that he's not acclimated to it anymore, even small things require him to have the fan on and the earplugs in when he sleeps.
Well, we're all getting acclimated to noise, but in a bad way. Because if you're in the subway and you don't put your fingers in your ears when that train comes by, you're doing yourself a big disservice. You got to teach your kids, when they hear that loud sound, that they must put their fingers in the ears, don't look like a sissy. We don't have a way to regenerate hair cells in the inner part of the ear.
Once they're gone, they're gone, right.
As far as we know at this point in time. You know, I've done...
What about earplugs?
You can wear earplugs. That's a great idea. Headphones are easy to put on much quicker. In fact, you can talk to someone on the subway with both of you wearing earplugs much easier than if you're both not wearing earplugs.
All right, let's take a final call. We heard from the Upper West Side, now the Lower East Side. Cindy joining us on Soundcheck. Cindy, what's the noise situation there? Looks like I lost Cindy. So let me come back to you, Al, real quick. Give me some numbers, if you can. The decibel rating of a subway, for example.
Difficult to give those numbers, I got to say that, because the different frequencies, the different pitches, bass, mid-range, and treble, all sound totally different to the human ear. But when they're loud, they sound similar. A subway at close range can be 105, 110 decibels.
Isn't 80 where you start to hurt yourself?
Well, they say at 90 decibels, really 8 hours continuous exposure to that is prohibited by the federal government. And 4 hours of 95 decibels and 2 hours of 100 decibels. Most people, the lowest sound they can hear is neighborhood of 20 or 30 decibels.
Mm-hmm.
But that goes up if you're partially deaf. You have to be 60 or 70 decibels before you hear it. That's a pretty deaf person.
All right, we've got Cindy back on the line. Cindy, what's the noise situation like on the Lower East Side these days?
Well, I live near the FDR, so it's a given.
Mm-hmm.
That it's going to be noisy.
And is it like is it sort of like that caller who we spoke to earlier who lived near the BQE and just kind of got used to the shushing sound of traffic going by?
Well, for me, if it's raining, it sounds like a shushing sound. Otherwise, I really just hear the traffic. And I've been in this particular apartment for 7 years.
Wow.
So I've never gotten used to it. But I feel like, you know, it's the price I pay. And I keep my windows closed. But we've also just moved into a house in New Jersey where I can't stand being able to hear any noise. Because I feel like in New York, that's the price you pay to get to live in New York. Whereas if I'm going to survive the suburbs, I should at least have quiet.
Right, or maybe just crickets and birds, that sort of
exactly.
thing. Okay.
Exactly.
Cindy, thank you very much for joining us. Miguel Zinon, the jazz saxophonist and MacArthur Award winner. Miguel, thank you for being with us on Soundcheck today as well.
My pleasure.
And with us here in our studio, Alan Feierstein, the founder and president of the acoustic consulting firm Acoustalog. You can find his website, acoustalog.com. Al, thank you for being with us today as well.
Thank you very much.
Still to come on Soundcheck, Mozart and Beethoven have been role models for many classical ensembles. The Harlem Quartet, though, looks first to people like Billy Strayhorn and Duke Ellington. They'll play live for us next on Soundcheck.